This is Transit Unplugged. I'm Paul Comfort. And this week, we bring you an insight into hydrogen fuel for public transportation. As part of the recent infrastructure spending bills, there's been a big focus on what's called hydrogen hubs. These are seven centers around the U.S. where there is being spent a lot of money to create centers where fuel, the hydrogen fuel, can be brought in and produced and shipped out from around the country to lower the cost per kilogram of hydrogen fuel. And today we talked to two of the nation's top experts on the topic, and that is Kurt Conrad, who is CEO of Stark Area Regional Transit Authority, and Tim Sassine, who is Director of Market Development and Public Affairs in North America for Ballard, which makes the fuel cells. Kurt is a favorite of mine on this hot topic. He's written a chapter in my upcoming book, The New Future of Public Transportation, as well as Doran Barnes has written a chapter on this topic. Kurt has been the CEO of Stark Area Regional Transit Authority in Canton, Ohio, the home of the NFL Football Hall of Fame, since 2009. SARTA operates 110 buses with 240 employees. They operate diesel, electric hybrids, biodiesel, and compressed natural gas buses. Also, they have 21 hydrogen fuel cell buses, which is the largest fleet in the country outside of California. And Kurt actually loans them around the country to trade shows, etc. I actually got to see one in person a couple years ago at the Transportation Association of Maryland conference. Even though he's funny, and I think could have a second career in stand-up comedy, he really is a serious guy who's focused on this and a real good spokesman for the Hydrogen Fuel Cell Bus Council and all the work being done across the country as people are looking at alternatives to move us to a decarbonized zero-emission future for buses. This is a great, fun conversation that I know you're going to enjoy on today's episode of Transit Unplugged. I'm excited to have with me today two of the leaders here in the United States in the hot, almost explosive topic. Kurt said I shouldn't say that. Of hydrogen fuel. But great to have you with us. Kurt Conrad, who is CEO of Stark Transit, and Tim Sassine, who is Director of Market Development and Public Affairs for North America for Ballard. As those who listen to the podcast regularly know, zero emission buses is one of the trending topics in our world of public transportation. I was in Tulsa last week with Scott Maher, the CEO there, and he's all in on CNG, compressed natural gas, because that's what they have a lot of it right there, just like they do down in Fort Worth, Texas. And so they showed me their entire, you know, setup and how they fuel the vehicles. So really, there's four or five main types of fuel in the United States, right? There is for buses. There is diesel. And then now we have what's called clean diesel, which is a lot cleaner than the old versions of diesel, reducing particulates. Then you've got compressed natural gas. Then you've got like a vegetable oil gas that they're using in some places in Canada, modified fuel. Then you go to battery electric and then hydrogen. And I know there's probably some permutations as well, but those are the big ones. And battery electric has been at the forefront, but there was a lot of problems just this last month across Canada and colder climates, where many of the CEOs and folks I was talking to said, Paul, our buses were hardly moving. It was so cold up here. I mean, we couldn't get much of a charge, et cetera. And those of you who listened to Eve Wiggins on the podcast just recently from Mississauga, Canada, talked about, you know, the concerns that she has with battery electric buses. But there's a whole new fuel type, which has been around for ages, but it's really coming to the forefront of our industry now, Kurt, and that's hydrogen. Now, you're head of a big group that does this. Just give us a little bit of background on hydrogen, and then I'm going to go into brand new federal funding in the U.S. for something called hydrogen hubs, which I want you to describe. But first, just give us a take on hydrogen fuel in general and what's going on with it.
Sure. So hydrogen, if you can imagine like gasoline, hydrogen is a fuel carrier or energy carrier. You can store energy. Just like you put gasoline in your car, you put hydrogen in a vehicle and you're storing energy. And then what happens is the hydrogen is converted through a fuel cell. Hopefully it'd be a Ballard fuel cell that you're using to make your Tim's with the Ballard. You're in that fuel cell through a chemical process, actually that converts that power into electricity, and it drives an electric drive motor. So it's an electric vehicle. It's just powered by hydrogen. So we have 21 vehicles here. We're the fourth largest in the country, the largest outside of California. We've been in operation for about 10 years. And we got about 1 million miles on our fleet. We see that the uptime performance is pretty well equivalent to what we see in a diesel vehicle. The nice thing about that, you can go 300 plus miles on a single refill, and you can get that refill of hydrogen down to about 6 minutes. So it really is a drop-in replacement equivalent for diesel.
Thank you, Kurt. When I was up in Edmonton recently, we filmed an episode of Transit Unplugged TV up there and also a podcast with Eddie Robar, who is the deputy city manager and used to head up the Edmonton Transit Service. He showed us the back of an engine and walked us through how it works, the fuel cell. And I did a little clip of that, put it up on YouTube, and it got thousands and thousands of views around the world. Tim, that's what your company does, right? You all produce those fuel cells. Tell us about that and, you know, whatever you want to say about that.
Yeah, we started back in 1979. Jeffrey Ballard wanted to replace the combustion engine. We're working hard on it, but we've always been focused on heavy duty. About 32 years ago is when we put our first bus on the road. So transit's always been square in our sights. And really, that's all we do is the hydrogen fuel cell, the thing that converts hydrogen into electricity, just as if it were a battery. We've been making and producing those in North America all this time, up in Vancouver, Canada, is where our R&D facilities are. But we've also got a manufacturing facility in Bend, Oregon. And that's where the fuel cell modules, buses in the United States, come from Ballard. And really, Buy America, as you mentioned it, has been really effective in coercing and convincing Ballard to invest more and more in the United States. That used to be just a little engineering office that we had acquired some time back. And slowly, it's growing to take on more and more responsibility. We're looking at bigger and bigger investments within the United States to satisfy this market as it grows. So we're fully bought into transit. Transit has always been there for us. It's such an attractive market for introducing zero emission technology. It's got all of the tough points of fleet management and fleet operations that a big trucking fleet might have, but the economics of it value what's provided to the customer and to the community much more so than a strictly commercial venture. And that's really helped us to grow together with transit to make zero emissions ready. And these drivetrains really will adapt quite well to these other powertrains, these other chassis, both and everything else.
So. Tell me how that works, Tim. So when I looked at of course, I've seen one of Kurt's buses. Kurt brought it down to TAM, Transportation Association of Maryland, a couple years ago. And when I first got to see a hydrogen bus, and by the way, Kurt, thank you for you. I know you loan a lot of your fleet out around the country so the people can kind of see it in person. But when I looked at it again up there in Edmonton at the CUDA conference, it reminded me of the old flux capacitor on the DeLorean, you know, from Back to the Future. There's this thing in the middle that turns this hydrogen fuel in these tanks that are on the roof of a bus. And then what happens then, Tim? Just walk us briefly through.
It's not too different from the engines that we're all familiar with. But instead of burning that hydrogen and creating a high temperature and all the particulate matter associated with it, instead of burning it, we react it. So the fuel,
it's a chemical reaction.
The fuel cell. What's up?
Is a chemical reaction? Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. The hydrogen hits the membrane and it reacts with the membrane. So the proton goes across, the electron goes into your electrical circuit. Electrically, it looks just like a battery.
Right.
In fact, we put them in parallel with the batteries as if it were another battery pack. And that's the beauty of it, is that it gives you that ability for an electric traction drive. And electric drives are fantastic for things like buses because they've got high torque and all the benefits that we know about. The shortcoming is that as you deplete those batteries, the performance starts to fade. Not so with the hydrogen fuel cell. So we keep going just as strong with a full tank as we do when you get close to empty, because it's just constant output.
That's
it's a nice feature of hydrogen fuel cells.
Yeah.
And the addition is that we make heat. So not only can we store more energy up on the roof, but, you know, you talked about this when you were off in Edmonton, that we also have waste heat that we can use in these colder climates. And it's going to be a really big deal as we move into some of these colder transit agencies.
Yeah. So the only, Kurt, you mentioned this to me before, and you talk about it in the chapter that you wrote for my upcoming book, The New Future of Public Transportation. By the way, folks, if you want to kind of read a really good description, take a look at Kurt's chapter. It'll be available. Ebook will be available in the middle of April and the paperback in June. But you describe it in great detail and with some humor, which I always like about you. But the only thing that comes out is water out of your tailpipe, right? And heat inside the vehicle to warm the vehicle up.
Correct. The advantage of the fuel cell versus a battery is the electricity is consumed and immediately used. Whereas a battery, you're storing it and you have to discharge it. And so the cold temperatures like Edmonton, Canada, that because of the physics of the way batteries work, they don't discharge as efficiently. So you may lose 40, 50% of your capacity or your range because of the cold. Whereas a fuel cell immediately uses it and doesn't have that same degradation from the cold.
Yeah. And on our year-end podcast this year at the end of 2023, I had Paul Skoutelas on. Paul is the president and CEO of the American Public Transportation Association. And when we talked about the trends that are happening in the industry going into 2024, hydrogen fuel is one of those trends. Foothills Transit, Doran Barnes has also, one of the leaders in the industry, has been a big proponent of hydrogen fuel. But there's been a problem, Kurt. And the problem is, where do you get your hydrogen? You know, do you have to have it shipped in? Do you make it? But there's something new happening, and it's called hydrogen hubs. Tell us about that.
So yeah, this is a project that really came out of the Biden administration. It's linked to the Biden administration $50 billion earth shot for hydrogen, which is trying to get the price of hydrogen down to $1 per kilogram. If anybody's in California, you may have seen it as high as $35 a kilogram. So really trying to get it down to a cost per kilogram that is equivalent or cheaper than gasoline.
Okay.
But really the hydrogen hubs is a concept coming out that hydrogen can be used just not in transportation, but it can be used in producing steel, chemicals, fertilizer, concrete. It can be used to store energy. It can be used as an energy carrier. You can actually use it to put in your gas lines to offset natural gas. You can burn in your stove. You can use it to make electricity. And so really, it's the idea that hydrogen is the element that society is going to use to decarbonize. It is the main arrow in our quiver that we're going to use to decarbonize. And so the Biden administration had put $10 billion in the infrastructure bill to fund hydrogen hubs across the country. Originally, there was like 70 that were proposed and got it down to 7. And basically, the hubs are based in the East Coast, Midwest. There's one that we're a part of in the Appalachian area. There's one in Texas, the upper Midwest, and then in the California are the 7 hubs. And so really what they're trying to do is match manufacturing with consumers, and then hopefully we'll be able to replicate that hub concept around the rest of the country.
That's interesting. So Tim, what is a hub? And you know, what is a hydrogen hub? Is it a place where, I don't know, tell me what it is.
It's the place where federal policy really got it right. They listened to industry. Because for hydrogen, it benefits to have more and more users and producers concentrated in a region, which is very different from the grid and battery concerns. The grid gets congested and it gets difficult to run that distribution infrastructure when you've got a lot of loads close together. So you want them dispersed. With hydrogen, to make it economically, you want to have very large scale electrolyzers, steam methane reformers or pyrolysis plants, big capital equipment to really amortize over that production cost, and you can get low-cost hydrogen that way. The same with the end users of it. The more that you have in one place, the more you can justify the economics of building that hydrogen production. So bringing together producers and consumers in one geographic region makes a lot of sense. Transportation of the hydrogen, it helps. Hydrogen is typically consumed in gaseous or liquid form by fleet. And when you move it by gas, you can only fit so much on a truckload, maybe 1,500 kilograms or so. And the economic distance of that is probably something from 100 to, let's say, 300 miles. With liquid, you get much farther, 500 to 1,000 miles. But still, beyond that, the transportation of the fuel itself starts to become more expensive. So it makes sense to have them co-located. And that's the idea of hydrogen hubs. So the DOE set up through the Office of Clean Energy deployments this concept for a limited number of hydrogen hubs. We got 7 of them throughout the United States where people are putting together business plans for producing and consuming the hydrogen. And that allows fleets and other hydrogen consumers, industrial consumers, other users of hydrogen confidence to invest in hydrogen vehicle, in hydrogen technology, because they know the fuel is coming. So not only does it help to drive down the economics, it helps to build up market confidence that hydrogen is coming, that it's coming in a clean form, and it's coming in a way that's going to be economic and cost competitive, if not cheaper in the long run than fossil fuels.
It's very exciting. I think everyone is concerned about the environment. They're concerned about clean air, clean water. And so to me, it makes sense to have multiple, you know, all of the above kind of approaches, right? So people are looking at all sorts of energy that emits less emissions. But the practical question for people listening to this podcast today, most of whom work in and around the public transit industry, is, you know, how does this practically work? So, Kurt, could you walk us through, if I'm a transit CEO in Louisiana, and all right, I got you. I heard Kurt, I heard Tim, I heard 10 things about this, and I get that the grid is congested and I need to maybe consider other options. And so I don't want to have a problem, you know, if we get flooded and all my vehicles are electric and the grid goes down and I've got no way to evacuate my city. I want to see what other options are out there. I want to get a hydrogen bus. What now?
So we kind of talked about earlier on that a lot of fleets that use compressed natural gas, which is a gaseous form. And really what hydrogen is just another gaseous form of production. So it fuels just like a CNG does. It acts like natural gas. The safety protocols you have to do is take natural gas. And really, us in the hydrogen field, maybe Tim isn't, but aren't really that bright. And so we stole all of that infrastructure protocols from the natural gas guys and applied to hydrogen. So a lot of these safety protocols and fueling protocols have been around for a long time. But if you're trying to get hydrogen at your location, you can either do it two ways. One, produce it on site or get it delivered. Producing it on site, you're either going to produce it through a form that's called through natural gas, or you're going to use a electrolysis to split water into hydrogen and oxygen.
Interesting. Is that what you've been out to that location, right? Where in Sunline Transit, I went in their factory where she made that. Is that what that process is? They're breaking it apart. Do you know?
So Sunline and then Champaign Urbana have a 1-ton electrolyzer.
Okay,
that makes a ton of hydrogen a day. Why we mix tons in grams, kilograms together, I don't know. I could go down this whole measurement thing of
imperial
kilojoules and I don't know. And sometimes my accounting people are like, why do we get it in gallons but dispense it in kilograms? And like, I don't know.
That's really good. Yeah. All right, keep going.
I could get into a whole monologue about measurements and get into this stuff. It's kind of funny.
I'll have you on my next comedy routine.
Or in a kilojoule or a mega Pascal as,
but there you go. Okay.
A whole different thing.
All right. So you got to make a decision whether to truck it in or make it yourself. And there's a couple ways you can make it. And then what?
And so really, let's just say the main way people do it is liquid hydrogen, which a liquid is at minus 530 degrees in a liquid form. And then you need to convert it to a gas. And so everything in the industry, the gas is on board. The vehicles on board, the cars you see in California, big trucks, everything's gaseous. A car is at 10,000 PSI. A bus is at 5,000 PSI. And then from there, you just dispense it. You hook it up to hook up the car and fuel it. It's pretty simple to do.
How do I get a bus, though? Where would I get a bus from? Who's making hydrogen buses? OEMs doing it? Like major manufacturers of buses?
Yeah. So ENC was doing it earlier this year, but as you said, that they're going out. New Flyers is building them. We actually are taking our first delivery of our first New Flyer bus here probably the next couple of weeks. Now, in the small bus market, SARTA, we were actually the first ones in the country to build a paratransit vehicle. And now there's a couple other ones that are coming on market. So hopefully by the end of this year, you'll see additional hydrogen vehicles coming online. But, you know, the one thing, it was kind of funny. We have the New Flyer rep here. And I said, yeah, I just want a bus. Can I go on your website somewhere, put it in my basket, and then check out on the other side? He said, I want to, but you can't really do that. But if you could leave your credit card here.
There you go.
So, I mean, really building it isn't any different than a battery vehicle.
They'll build it right on the line for you.
Yeah, they build
at the OEM. Okay, good. And how long does it take and how much do they cost? You just bought one. So give us roundabout numbers. I know, you know, if you get the electric locks, it may be a little bit more, but
it's going to be 1.2 to 1.3. And it could be as low as under $1 million if you order more than 10 vehicles.
Okay.
And actually, if you order before midnight tonight with a coupon code, save 20%, you can get
a Ginsu knife. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and how long will it take? If how long did yours take? You just ordered one when? Last April?
Yeah. Last April, we should be getting it about a year or so.
About a year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So 1.2 million and a year, and you can have a hydrogen bus. You just got to make sure, then you got that year to figure out how you're going to get the fuel in. whether you're going to truck it or build it.
And you have to make sure you have the compressing station and that. And you also have to make sure you have your building. So everyone's used to the danger we have in traditional vehicles. If you have a leak in your diesel vehicle, it hits the ground and it may have a puddle. And that's the
right.
issue.
Really, that's why you don't smoke near the gas tank.
Try not to. You're right. I could tell you stories about that, too, on the comedy side about people digging up. Anyway, so that's the four down. With night of hydrogen, it's really from the ceiling down where you could accumulate in a pocket. So you need to make sure you've got sensors in your building, and you also have fans, that kind of stuff. So you've got three parts you have to look at: the bus, the fueling itself, and then the safety of the building that you're going to maintain your vehicles in when you're getting your bus, so to speak.
And if someone is interested, there's a lot of stuff to it, is what Kurt's explaining, right? It's not just the vehicles, the fueling, it's the facilities. But there's a group called the Hydrogen Council that you guys are a part of, where people can get a lot of that information, right?
Yeah, the Hydrogen Fuel Cell Bus Council. It's an organization of transit fuel cell electric bus users and potential users and manufacturers as well. They're doing a lot on the policy monitoring side, but also in education. It's a great group to work with and to reach out to. They're getting their information together now. I'd say check out their website, and there's a lot of information that they can provide.
Tim, when will these hydrogen hubs, so let's say I want to find out, is there one near me? Where can I get that information?
The Office of Clean Energy Demonstrations is administering the hydrogen hubs. That's a good place to start. Simple Google search can get you there, and they can redirect you also to each of the seven different hubs. Each hub has an organization that administers it. It's a part of the one in the Midwest, but that group can help to guide you. And they're all different structures. Some have heavy academic influence. Some have heavy industry influence. Some are governmental. They're all different business models with different approaches to what they're doing based on that funding. And they're just finishing up their negotiations right now with the Department of Energy for that final budget agreement.
That's great. I mean, I could talk to you guys for another hour about all this, but we're almost out of time. Kurt, what final thoughts do you have for people who are interested in hydrogen?
Well, I think the bottom line is, if you're really going to want to find a drop-in replacement for your diesel bus that can run in all kinds of weather and all kinds of conditions, hydrogen vehicles for you. Now, I will say there are use cases where battery electric has a paratransit is a good fit, or peak hour commuter traffic. We're actually going to be getting a couple battery electric buses to run into peak hour service into Cleveland. So I think that there are use cases for both, but I think the fuel cell hydrogen bus is your better choice to replace your typical diesel 40 footer.
Yeah, everybody wants to decarbonize their fleet. Tim, what is your final thoughts?
So reach out to your fuel providers as soon as possible. If you are interested in hydrogen fuel cell electric buses, there's a lot of great things they can do operationally for you. But your timelines these days are really set by all that fuel infrastructure and the partners that you work with. So if you get interested, if you can, visit places like SARTA. They definitely know what's going on, but they're busy often. But do check out the Hydrogen Fuel Cell Bus Council. Get information, get involved in the fuel conversation sooner rather than later. And folks like New Flyer can set you up with the bus with no problem.
That's great. And in our show notes of the podcast this week, we'll put links to all these. Plus, Kurt's head of a group called, I think, the Midwest Center of Excellence. There's one out west, right, where people can learn more. Is that right, Kurt?
Yeah, that's correct. We, along with Iowa State and Cleveland State, we put together a center where we do outreach and training for individuals coming into this new technology.
Yeah. And I guess to wrap it up from my perspective, no one's talking down electric, battery electric. You know, it's just what Kurt said, I think, is what a lot of transit CEOs are telling me. And I bet you I've talked to a half dozen in the last week who have said to me, you know, look, we like battery electric. It's great, but we need more options because it doesn't meet all of our needs. And so we're looking into other options. And one of them is we're looking into hydrogen. Others, you know, are looking into these other types of fuels I mentioned, like in Vancouver, they just announced some different fuels they're looking into. So there's lots of options, but the end goal, like Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People says, begin with the end in mind. I think everyone has the same goal in mind, which is to have a clean fuel for their fleet, to help contribute to a cleaner environment for all of us. And then you work your way backwards and see what works for you. There's a famous quote that Peter Rogoff is credited with that says, you know, if you've seen one transit system, you've seen one transit system. And that's because, you know, the Government structures are different. The locations, the temperatures, the operating environment, all that is different. And this is an opportunity to educate yourself on one of the options, which will help fuel your fleet. And I thank you, Tim and Kurt and Carter McCoy from the Hydrogen Bus Council for helping to set up this interview to kind of give a little bit more information to people who are considering what their options are.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Transit Unplugged with our special guests, Kurt Conrad and Tim Sassine. We've created a special playlist, including this episode, all about hydrogen and hydrogen fuel. So if you want to have a listen and dive deep into this topic, well, that's the playlist for you. Next week, we have another episode swap, and this time it's with our friend and past guest, Brandon Bartnek from the Future of Mobility podcast. Brandon and his guest, Larry Burns, who is a visionary leader in autonomous vehicles, are talking about the future of autonomous vehicles. Make sure you don't miss a thing going on at Transit Unplugged by connecting with us on social media and subscribing to our newsletter. You can find everything at transitunplugged.com. Transit Unplugged is brought to you by Modaxo. At Modaxo, we're passionate about moving the world's people. And at Transit Unplugged, we're passionate about telling those stories. So until next week, ride safe and ride happy.